Our first one was top five video game characters. So that was our first top tier listing. And we decided to go End of the World movies, which makes sense. And then everybody was on lockdown, so we went with binge-worthy shows. The pod race we didn't know we needed. What was, oh, was that?
Who would win in a race, Anakin or Vin Diesel
Or Dominic
or
Toretto?
Toretto? Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Oh.
What is up, guys? I'm Kyle. He's BMac. And at the moment, we're just kind of taking a trip down memory lane and looking at some of the titles of our old podcasts. But today, we are a little late, but hey, we had 2 weeks to get ready for this next big football game. So we're going to react to the championship Sunday. It was about a week ago now. Talk about all that and get into the matchup for the Super Bowl. And then we're going to segue from there to, we'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll just do two separate episodes. I think we'll do two episodes. This episode's for sports. So we'll talk a little Kyrie Irving trade. We'll throw that in the mix. And, there's still not a whole lot of baseball going on. So maybe that'll be that. So, and then The Last of Us, we'll get into in the next podcast, I think we'll just hammer that boy out. So they're two separate church and state kind of thing. Yeah, so let's get into it. What'd you think of the games? They are BMAC.
I feel like we were spot on with our thoughts on how they were going to go. I think we thought either way that the Eagles were better than the 49ers. We didn't think Brock Purdy was going to get hurt. And him getting hurt, I think it really, please don't show that screen right now. I think it really kind of hammered home that Philadelphia was better. And no quarterback made it impossible for the 49ers to even attempt to come back in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no, because their second string quarterback got hurt too, right? Because that's why Purdy had to go back in.
Yeah, so Purdy came back in, I think around the third quarter.
Yeah.
Because they're, what would he be, the fifth string at that point?
Yeah, the fifth string got hurt, or the fourth string got hurt, right?
And who keeps
I
a
mean,
fifth string quarterback? So, I mean,
yeah.
at that point, they were, yeah, he came in and got a concussion. Like he got one of those, like where he hits his head on the
Yeah.
old turf.
It's 21-7.
And
You
then
got Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy comes back in, and he's, we didn't know until after the game, but he's playing with a torn UCL, which is not
Tommy
great.
John. Like that, most pitchers who have a torn UCL end up having Tommy John. So it's not good.
Yeah, this is, it was kind of weird because like going into this game, if they got beat 31-7 and Purdy played the whole game, I think that the Niners are like, okay, well, we need a new quarterback still, kind of.
Yeah, or we can go into
But
next
now
season.
this makes things super weird, right?
Yeah.
Because he got hurt and then they're talking, it's usually what, 6 months? Some pitchers in baseball don't even pitch for the next season.
Yep.
So maybe you don't even get Purdy back for a whole nother year, which might make it easy, but it's 6 months, we'll say. That's what the timetable was they were talking. For Purdy and Trey Lance, I mean, it's not a bad problem to have. But both coming off injuries. The Niners are just so unfortunate, man. Like, they're so damn good, but they're just always hurt.
Yeah,
And
I
they,
mean, and like Kyle Shanahan was saying that he doesn't envision Jimmy G being back next year, but I mean, you never know with these injuries. Like, do you bring him back just because?
just in case, I mean, you made it work this year with other contracts, right?
Yeah.
It's tough. Everybody's getting older. And they're injury prone. That's the other thing. Like this year, they were the least injury prone, and the most important position got just decimated.
Yeah.
You know, historically, it's always usually George Kittle, even Christian McCaffrey, who they go and get. Nick Bosa's had his fair share of injuries. Like, that's why they were, like, only okay last year. And then they get the boys back healthy, and here they go, arguably one of the best teams. I mean, hell, I thought that they were going to go in the Super Bowl for a little bit.
I thought coming into the playoffs, they looked like the best team.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the playoffs, they looked like the best team in the NFL.
After the Kansas City win, they were just dog walking their opponents every week. Didn't matter who they were playing. And you couldn't say the same thing about the other teams, Dallas, Philly, Kansas City.
No, I mean, even coming into the playoffs, Philadelphia hit a bump in the road. You know, last game of the season against the Giants, they didn't look great.
No.
And it's, to me, it's tough to really say in that game if Philly looked great. Their defensive line did, but it's a freak injury to Brock Purdy. And it just, like I said, it took them out of the game. Like, the 49ers had no way coming back at that point.
And you could tell it affected the defense, too. Like,
yeah.
That the defense was playing so well, and then they just get a little undisciplined, have a few uncharacteristic penalties go against them. At the end of the half, if things go better and their defense kind of keeps some composure,
it's 14-7.
It's not even that. Well, it was probably 10-7 because they only score that touchdown off a bad third or off of a third down, I think, defensive holding or something like that.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. So then, I mean, you're at least going to the locker room like, hey, we're only down 3. You know?
We got a chance.
Yeah, and then you got Josh Johnson who fumbles the ball right after they get it back, after the touchdown from that penalty.
Yep.
And they get another one, and then it's just, oh, Jesus Christ. That's it.
Game over. Yep. That's just it. Yeah, and I mean, they were rushing the ball well. I mean, but then after that, like, once the quarterbacks went out, you just stack 8 in the box.
I mean, even considering the lack of composure, I mean, they ran the ball a lot, and they ran it looked like, on average, about 3.5 yards. So that's a touchdown. I didn't realize Gardner Minshew got in the mix, huh?
Yeah, a rush.
Turned it off at that point.
I mean, it was, I think it was pretty obvious in the third quarter that the game was just over. I mean, yeah, like I keep saying it, but you could tell the Eagles were just going to blitz the rusher, or they were going to blitz the quarterback and just stack 8 in the box because why not?
Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey, 0 quarterback completions.
Yeah, he had that one really bad throw.
But did have a higher QBR than Brock Purdy.
No, he didn't.
What it says right here.
Oh, yeah, okay. I see the QBR. I was looking at the rating.
I don't know how that shit's mathed, but it's kind of funny to think that he was 4 for 4. McCaffrey completed 0 and somehow had a higher rating. Yeah, I feel bad for the Niners. It was tough for me to envision them scoring 30 points on Philadelphia anyways.
Yeah.
So it's what we said last week. It sucks. What else is there to say? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
It didn't feel like a victory
for the Eagles.
Yeah, and if you're the Niners, it's the worst kind of loss. You know, you're like, you never had a chance.
Didn't have a chance. Yeah. I mean, and that injury happened.
You did for such a short period of time, even.
Like, well, that injury happened, what, on like the first or second drive?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it was.
Because then after that, McCaffrey came in and did his thing, and they did score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Which, if you're that defense, it's like, dude, this dude's still super fucking good.
I mean, look at his. I mean, he still rushed 15 times for 84 yards and 5.5. A carry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what kind of makes it, that's what you hate about it, because if Purdy's in there and he's not hurt, I feel like this game is kind of close. But, you know, I mean, an injury like that.
Well, it's just that it was a mix of things. Like, if you're that defense and you see them get that, and that's, I think, as a neutral and a football fan, someone who kind of overanalyzes the shit, and that's why we think that we should do this podcast, is they do have that drive, right? And they put that together. McCaffrey's still there. And to that point, Josh Johnson's not hurt yet. It's a tie ball game. It's the Niners defense. And they just uncharacteristically have a bunch of penalties in that drive. 14-7. Then Josh Johnson shows why he's their fourth string quarterback.
Yep.
Puts the ball on the turf at the worst time, and then it's game over. Like,
yep.
Now that it's all kind of coming back to me, part of it's I feel like on the defense, at least up to that point. But then Josh Johnson gets hurt, and it's like, oh, fuck. Well, whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, then there's also the thought that, you know, as a defense, they probably figured with Brock Purdy out, they were going to have to be lights out, and they were going to have to make every play. So then they start, you know, playing uncharacteristically like themselves.
Yeah, and or it's extending a little bit.
They're trying to do too much. Like, oh, I need mm-hmm. to lock this guy up. We can't give up this first down. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, you gave it to him. Instead of them earning it, you gave it to him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Definitely tough. It's one of those ones where if you're like the Niners organization, like, it doesn't feel like it. It's just a tough loss, man. Like, there's nothing really you can do.
No, I mean, you went out and you made the trade for Christian McCaffrey, so you got better. The good news is he's not on a one-year deal, so you still have him next year. And you go into the season with, you know, trying to figure out if Brock Purdy or Trey Lance are your quarterback next year. Not a terrible spot to be in.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm getting at, is like, everybody's so quick on the trigger anymore, as far as like with the social media and whatnot, saying whether or not coaches or players and personnel should be moved, because everything when it's so immediate, you know.
Yes, so much of the 49ers should go out and get Tom Brady, which I mean, like, the whole reason I didn't think the Buccaneers would beat the Cowboys this year is because Tom Brady's looked very pedestrian this year. He hasn't looked like the same Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He's had games, but I mean, is he really going to be like, he's 45. Is that what you want to base your whole season on next year? A 46-year-old quarterback? No. You're in a good spot to kind of see what happens with these two guys. To your point.
What's more likely to happen? This time next year, Brock Purdy is still the starting quarterback, or Trey Lance is?
I feel like it's more likely that Brock Purdy's there.
Yeah, I've just seen it. I've seen this machine go with Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it's fully that as much as, you know, Trey Lance is still a young quarterback, and so many other teams need quarterbacks.
Yeah, he has a little more value. He costs more already.
Costs more already. You just traded a bunch of picks and stuff to get Christian McCaffrey. Why not try to re-get those picks? See what you can get for Trey Lance.
Yeah, I agree totally.
See what you can get for Trey Lance. Get a backup quarterback in and see what happens.
Do they draft? What if they draft dude from Georgia?
I mean, yeah, that could work if you pick him up in the second or third round.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, look at him this year.
He's shown that he can run an offense. I mean, he can, like, as good as their skill position players are.
Well, I mean, look at him this year, this past season. They had Trey Lance and Jimmy G, and they still drafted Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing says you can't take the best player available when you're picking. Why not?
Dude, imagine how fucked they would have been. How different does this season look if that kid doesn't come in and play the way he does? Any other third-string quarterback is way worse than he was this year.
Yeah, I mean, then you're talking about them potentially going out and trying to trade for, you know, like Aaron Rodgers or something.
Mm-hmm. Derek Carr, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I just don't want, as bad as it was, I think that something should be said as to how good. I know, and we kind of broke it down looking at all of it, and we're at that point, we were talking about the best four best eight teams available, you know, that are left in the league. And Brock Purdy's just, you know, to go like just pound for pound in it. You know, who's he played? Things like that.
Yeah.
But he still won those games.
Well, I mean, even the Dallas game, he didn't have a bad game. He wasn't great, but he didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, and then for that game, that was literally the difference, yeah.
Yeah, the quarterback play. One quarterback had two interceptions, one had none.
Yeah, I agree. So, the ceiling seems higher with Brock Purdy to me.
Yeah.
But to be in all fairness, the offense, they just try and do a lot with Trey Lance when they had him in. Where with Purdy, it's like, hey, we've been doing this for years. He's not a great runner. Neither was Jimmy G. And our offense is still good enough.
Now, the one thing is they didn't have Christian McCaffrey when they had Trey Lance. So
that's true.
I mean, maybe you go higher upside, higher potential with Trey Lance. But I feel like for a team that has some older players that you're going to have to pay eventually, you know, Debo Samuel's going to require a contract, Ayuk, Bosa. I mean, there's some guys you got to pay. Why not take the cost-efficient route here and go with the Mr. Irrelevant? You've proven you can win with him and you can scheme a game with him. Why not?
Yeah, I agree. And then over to Philly. I mean, Philly
looked like Philly. I mean, they,
their defense was swarming. Those injuries don't happen if they're not in the offensive backfield like they had been all season long. Even in a game that's 7-7, they're still getting to the quarterback.
I mean, their offense didn't look amazing, but they didn't turn the ball over. So,
yeah,
they didn't have to be amazing in that game.
No, their defense was just in the Niners' face, and that's why these injuries did happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we said it on paper. Philly might be as good a team as any in the league. So, any final thoughts on this one before we move over to the AFC side?
No, I think, you know, we figured the Eagles were going to win. Didn't think it was going to be like that. Injuries suck. That's all it is.
Yeah. That they do. Speaking of injuries, Patty Staty was coming off of one going into this game. You want to talk about two totally different games? Holy hell.
Ed, I feel like the weekend, like I said, went exactly how we felt. Me and you were split on this game, and this game literally came down to a final draw.
Yeah.
So it's as split as you can get.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals were beat up going into it. Kansas City was beat up going into it. And they got more beat up during the game. Kansas City was down to, like, only Valdes-Scantling and Travis Kelce, and somehow they were still catching balls.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, too, then the whole game, it was a really good game, back and forth. You could tell both teams have experience playing against each other because there were some key defensive plays. And I don't know, just like Joe Burrow couldn't really get much going. You know, he had 270, but he threw two picks.
Yeah.
It was kind of uncharacteristic of him, and it's just seems like a defense that's seen him a few times, and they know a couple of things.
I said it going into it, too. I said it before the game started to Sean, my buddy who I was watching it with. I was just like, if we're going to win this game, because at that point I was still like, dude, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I was like, if we're going to win this game, we're going to have some big plays. So Valdes-Scantling is going to have a day. And that he did.
He did.
One of the things I saw someone saying was, Patrick Mahomes is so good, he makes Valdes-Scantling look relevant, and Aaron Rodgers couldn't.
I don't know.
I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, he doesn't get the ball as much, probably, if there's anybody left.
No.
I was just saying, like,
yeah.
When I had said it, I was like, big game. I'm talking like two or three receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown. It's a big game for him.
Yeah.
But no, going into it, I was like, man, Chris Jones has been having a hell of a season. And Kansas City's defense is one of those things that people just don't talk about because they're not the offense. And people kind of score points on them. It just is what it is, you know. And even when they had Tyrann Mathieu, and it's a big loss of, they were scoring points against them still then. When they had Tre'Davious Ward, and everybody's like, man, that's a big loss. And the Niners got him, he's a good corner. They were still getting scored on. And Chris Jones, man, this whole season, and then these last couple of games have just different planet, dude. Like,
yeah, he controlled that game.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, like we've talked about it before, just because we like most sports. It's like having Miguel Cabrera play the same time as Albert Pujols. And I don't think that he has the stats to back up that he's a Miguel Cabrera, like one for one swap. But to say he's the best defensive lineman, he'd have to be better than Aaron Donald, which he's not.
It's close.
But he's really fucking good. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at. He's really good. And, like you said, he just dominated the line of scrimmage. He got other guys one-on-ones and against a beat-up O-line.
I mean, they had 5 sacks.
Yeah. Yeah, but to Cincinnati's, to their defense, their defense played super well. Like, they kept them in the game for the first half. The first half could have been ugly.
Yes.
You know, Kansas City kicks 2 field goals. It could have been worse. They just, you know, floundered a little bit, but their defense just kept them in it, man. So, and that kid, man, he, the one that had the bad play at the end of the game, he was all over the place. Yeah. 5 total tackles, tackle for a loss, 2 quarterback hits. Like, he was playing
having a good game. Yeah.
They were all over the place. They made it tough. Absolutely. And you could kind of see Mahomes was doing it, but he wasn't quite right.
No. I think the one thing that really got me about the game was the play calling from the Bengals on that last drive. There didn't seem to be any sense of urgency to call anything. Like, the play calling on that last drive just didn't seem like it was there. Like,
I think it might have been because it was tied. And I definitely get what you're saying, because when they weren't tied, they called some ballsy plays.
Yes.
And like, I feel like Jamar Chase, they hit one of T. Higgins, and it was just like, fuck, yeah, these guys just really won't go away.
Yeah, like on third, was it on 4th down or 3rd and long, and they hit this long-ass play to Jamar Chase. And yeah, it's like, it was 4th and 8
or some shit like that.
Yeah, and it's like a 40-yard play. And then you get on that last drive, and it's like they were playing, which I don't know why, but it felt like they were playing for overtime. Like, okay, guys, let's just not make a turnover, and we got a chance to go to overtime, and we'll win. But there was so much time left on the clock for that offense, for a team that has that caliber of receivers, where, I mean,
and that caliber of composure, right? Like, yeah, it's shown throughout most of the season and last.
Yeah, and I mean, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase have chances to break a play at any time, right?
Those guys had, like, T. Higgins and Jamar, like, they had 2 of the dopest catches I've seen all year in that game.
Yeah, I mean, that touchdown to T. Higgins was just incredible.
Like, if you, like, went to the dictionary and it said, you got mossed, there'd be a picture of Randy Moss first, and it also could be used in this way. It'd be a picture of T. Higgins on that catch.
Yeah. I mean, he's just over 2 defenders and just makes it look easy.
High points the shit out of the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So I really thought, like, that to me was a big question mark. Like, okay, we're going to play not to lose here instead of playing to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like anytime any team gets in a situation where they play not to lose, they end up losing.
Yeah. Yeah, they, I think we gotta talk about it a little bit, is the Zebras, because so many people are hooting and hollering about the Zebras. There was some questionable stuff. As a Chiefs fan, I personally thought that they were trying to keep it close, if we're talking about the big conspiracy theory. Because in the third quarter, before that T. Higgins touchdown, They had Kansas City had gotten a touchdown and they were getting the ball. No, they hadn't scored a touchdown yet. They went three and out. Cincinnati was punting. Sky Moore has like a 35 to 40 yard punt return. That gets called back for holding at the line of scrimmage while the two guys are just jostling, you know, trying to like get position like the two gunners.
Yeah.
One of them gets tied up at the line of scrimmage and they call holding on that. 50-50 call. That's horseshit, I think. And that's before that play, I thought by and large it was pretty straightforward. Like people getting called for holdings and they'll go to like show the replay and it's some dude in a headlock. Like, okay, yeah. Well, that's holding. Okay, we can I'll get behind that. But they persevere. Then Kansas City, you know, Mahomes hits a few to Scanling and they start driving a little bit. Pacheco has a few good runs. And then he has a big one over the middle, which is just insane. He had so many passes in this game that not so many, I'd say like four that are just like, what was that? This is one of them. And then they're going down the field. I think it's like third and 13 when they convert on this thing. And one of the linemen just walks by. Something might have been said, you know, now that we're looking back at it. But in the moment, he's just walking past the dude, throws his hands up, like, what's up? We're the Chiefs. You're fucking throwing on sports. I'm like penalty yeah. flag. Like, and then obviously he doesn't do himself any favors by just dropping the ball on the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, that's the one thing I haven't liked is the unsportsmanlike call on taunting for stuff like that. Like, I feel like there are times for it, and then there are times where, like, nobody wants to see the Josh Norman and OBJ replay, right? Like, because that could have been avoided had they actually, that probably wouldn't have been avoided. They probably would have got ejected either way. But
that like, is unsportsmanlike conduct, though. Or, like, someone gets, like, laid out across the middle. Then you just stand over them and taunt. Like, that's different than just a couple of dudes being guys going down the field.
In a high leverage game.
Yeah.
Talking a little bit of trash. Like, there's trash talked in every play. Like,
seriously.
Like, I mean, come on. Or, like, what was it? Was it last year with the Steelers in a game where the dude, like, had a sack and he went and looked at the bench and then they throw the flag and it's a first down and you're like, come on, man. Like, you just.
Yeah.
Like you just changed. It was the Steelers and the Bears, and the Bears had a big sack or something. It's like you just changed the complexity of the whole game for something like that. So yeah, I mean, I feel like that was a bad call, but I do think, you know, you were talking about was that the same punt return though for Sky Moore where there was clearly a block in the back for Kansas City?
No, like there was the second good punt.
That was the second one. And there's clearly. Clearly, a block in the back that sets up the run, and you're like,
"That's okay. The one that sets up the game-winning field goal."
That was.
There's like a whole narrative to it, I think, because there's that. So I'm watching it now, and I'm like, "Dude, the Zebras are gonna try and keep it close." And then it starts getting weird. There's a few hits on Joe Burrow, who, to be fair, was getting hit all game.
Yeah.
And then back to the calls starting to go against the Bengals. After that. If we're going through like the whole memory of the game, that Valdes-Scantling catch when he reaches his arm out, what a play. In that moment, two guys like on his legs, he reaches the ball out. You can see Von Bell come to swipe the ball and he just yoinks it back real quick. And that's another instance of the Zebras fucking it up though. So that's a play that should be reviewed by the booth, not by a challenge. So that could have, you know, potentially changed things. This game was so close that there was enough things like that where, like, every time a call was made, it teetered this way or that way. And then the Kansas City Chiefs happened to have the ball at the end of the game. And on that drive in particular, about that Scanley reaches the ball out there, they fuck up, dude. They do that thing where this line judge comes out of left field, literally. And calls the play dead. The play happens. The punt team's out there. He's like, oh, no, I tried to blow it dead because the ball off of an incompletion was half a yard moved. Who gives a rat's ass? Like, in that moment, I'm like, I mean, I'll take it. Sure. You know, I think that drive ended in a punt anyways, but still, like, that's field position. So, I mean, and once I saw that, I'm like, dude, it's getting weird. Zebras are getting a little too camera friendly. We're seeing them a lot. They're doing some real, you know, shifty shit.
Yeah.
Whether it's right or wrong, and it doesn't matter who it's favoring at this moment, because they're just kind of in the game now. It's a triple threat. You know, there's three variables going. On the last one, though, and that's what I'm saying, because they've had this whole bit of exposure throughout the game, you know what the ref's faces look like now. And you're like, man, yeah, here goes this guy again.
Yep. And that's never good.
No. And then Kansas City gets the ball last, and Cincinnati ends up losing. So you're going to see it that way, right? There should have been a block in the back. There should have been a holding here or there. If you micromanage every play in the NFL, you can say shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, even with that, right, like maybe they're like, that's the one, like to me, the one really bad one I saw was the block in the back. I thought everything else, I mean, yeah, you're right, a lot of them did happen, but to be fair, I mean, Cincinnati still had a chance to stop that game. They had a chance to win. Mm-hmm. And then that's what I mean by playing not to lose ends up hurting you, because you sat there on that drive where you just stopped Kansas City. It's a tie ball game, and you got the ball with, you know, under 3 minutes to go and a good offense. And you had the momentum at that point. Like they just scored to tie it up, right?
They had gotten a call during that to get the ball back, or to get the ball off their like 2 yard line. Cause we had pinned them.
Yes.
And the defensive line was swarming like they were all game. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
so, I mean, you know, the whole, I don't like the whole blaming the refs for, you know, a game, because they had a chance. I mean, they just played not to win they played not to lose on a three and out at the end of the game.
I was reading, I've been reading some books lately, and I read one. This guy's talking about teaching his kids stuff, and he says, you have to be better than three people on any given day when you're playing a sport. You have to be better than yourself. You got to be better than your opponent. You got to be better than the ref. And by that, what that means is just having the discipline, you know, and you can't blame the ref if you end up losing, because you could have done more to be better.
Mm-hmm.
The refs didn't get involved, and it felt weird. Like, it was like, oh man, we got away with murder here, but the refs didn't sack the quarterback five times. They didn't.
No.
The refs didn't cause Joe Burrow to throw two interceptions.
At
the stat sheet, you don't see the Zebras on there. You see that Patrick Mahomes didn't throw any interceptions, had one fumble, Joe Burrow had two. It's one possession game. There it is.
Yep.
Tell the tape.
The refs didn't, you know, force you to hit the quarterback late while he was a yard out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got to call that. And the one thing I will say that drives me absolutely insane, and I've said it on here, is I hate the notion of it's the playoffs, so you let them play. I feel like if it's a foul, it's a foul. Call it.
Especially like that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if that happens on the first drive of the game or the last drive of the game. That's a foul. You have to call it. Like, no one's going to sit here and say, oh, well, last drive of the game, you can't call that now. No, you have to. Doesn't matter. That's a penalty. It's a foul. Call it.
And that call's been shaped. It shaped the game through the whole 60 minutes or so. And now you don't want to call it because, oh, we don't want to see. And that's just it. They were involved the whole game. And then at the end, it's an obvious penalty. Oh, they're selling, blah, blah, blah. No, that's a foul every day of the week. So, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's the Bengals had an awesome season.
You made it to the AFC Championship game. I feel like so much is put on winning the Super Bowl or bust that we kind of forget that they were one of the two best teams in the AFC. That's a good season.
Which is arguably the more competitive conference.
Yes. And, I mean, that's a really good season. The same thing for the 49ers, you know. Sucks how it ended, but you started the year not great and you went to the NFC Championship game.
You made it to the NFC Championship game with Mr. Irrelevant.
Hell of a season.
That's awesome. That's insane. They were 4-4 at one point. The Niners were.
Yeah, and I mean, both of these teams have young talent on both sides of the ball, and they're going to get better. I mean, Joe Burrow, it's kind of scary, but Joe Burrow and that offense potentially is going to be better next year, right?
The line will be healthier, right? It's just going to be tricky to see how they make the money work.
Yeah.
And that's what's different, I think, about the feeling I have. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but I've been, I think, very, maybe not quite as harsh as you, but I've been a little more, let's wait and see, a little more realistic. Something I've said since Patrick Mahomes' first season, you can look, before we did the podcast, I did a blog. In the blog, I broke down all the highest paid quarterbacks and how they had one Super Bowl. And then they made $30 million plus on their contracts, and that was all they ever won. And then Mahomes goes and signs a $500 million contract.
Yeah.
How do you say no to that, first of all? I mean, shit. But how's Kansas City going to make the money work? We see Tyreek Hill go beginning of the season. I did not, as a Chief fan, I was like, fuck. Window's closing, boys. Tyreek says, I'm going to get my bag. He's earned it. He's still a hell of a player.
Yep.
But just to see a player who is already probably the best quarterback in the league get better and get a bunch of piecemeal guys like Valdez Scantling, Kadarius Toney, Jerick McKinnon,
Juju Smith-Schuster,
a bunch of spare parts and throw for almost 6,000 yards. Without Tyreek Hill, who had 1,700 in his own right.
Yeah.
It's tough to see if they're going to be able to do that, because Cincinnati's going to have to pay these guys. You know what I mean? Like, Jamar Chase is a hell of a talent. He's got to stay. So then you're looking at T. Higgins. It's like, damn, can we afford T. Higgins too? And Joe Burrow?
Well, I think I think the bigger problem is the NFL has this salary cap set, to me, is too low when – like, the salary cap for the NFL is lower than it is for the MLB, and the NFL makes, you know, $3 to $4 billion more a year.
I don't think that would matter. I think that you're just – the market is what it is. I think if you raise the ceiling, it'll be allocated the same way. You'll see eventually the quarterbacks start to dominate that percentage, because that's just the way it's going to be. If there's more money to be had, people are still going to look at their organizations and be like, who's the most important piece? It's this quarterback. He should still get the lion's share of whatever we have on the table, because that's the only reason that we're relevant.
I mean, that's fair, but at the same point, you're still going to have more money. So you're still going to be able to work things in and out. Like, you're going to be able to restructure deals to fit in certain people. You're going to be able to front load, back load, however you want to do it. If you have more money, you can still make it work.
Yeah. At a point. In the immediate, I agree. I think that if they change the cap from whatever it is now to something new, we'll say an extra $40 million a year, I think it changes things for a lot of teams. However, the teams that have quarterbacks under contract, absolutely. But down the road, I think it still comes out in the wash to the same way.
Well, I mean, they do it all just so that, you know, the Chiefs aren't able to keep Tyreek Hill and then just run it back every year. You know, I mean, and I kind of get that, but to a point I don't, because I feel like it's so unfair to certain teams that you have, because it happens in every sport where you have the same teams that it feels like they just don't care. Like, the owners or GM or whatever just don't care to spend money, and they don't care that they have to win.
Right? Yeah, like, I mean, I see that. But also, I think that human element's going to be in any sport, but I think more so in football than any other sport. There's so much, like, the structure of it is so near perfect. Like, there's so much parity in the league with the salary cap, with the way the schedule is created, with the way the draft is done. If you get an owner that buys a dog shit team and he's serious about wanting his team to win, he has a better chance of doing that through the NFL than I would say any other league. Because he's going to get the opportunities for draft picks. He's in the same playing field as any other team with the salary cap. And he's not coming out the gate fighting for his life against the best teams in the league. He's going to play teams by and large that are just as good, if, you know, maybe a little bit better. So I think there's a ton of parity in the league. That's why I was so frustrated when they decided to change the bye thing. I thought that, I mean, it's okay now, I guess, but I think having the two byes is a big deal. Yeah. I mean, having one is even crazier because now it's a team has like an unfair advantage, but did they earn it? I don't, Kansas City didn't technically earn it. Some dude died on the field.
He didn't die. He's still alive.
Well, he's alive now. He went to bed dead.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, the bit from that Scary Movie 3. Yeah. But yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how they handle their money and their coaching staff is kick ass, dude. If one of these guys gets pulled in one direction or another, it'll be weird to see. Like, the newest quote unquote dynasty of winning, the new standard seems like it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And they've had the least amount of turnover in their front office. Eric Bieniemy hasn't been hired.
How?
Yeah. And then when they lost to the Patriots, Mahomes' first season starting, they went out and get Spagnuolo, and he's been there since.
Yeah.
So they've had the least amount of turnover, so I think that plays a big part. So a lot of these teams, it's interesting to see how it's going to play out. Looks like D'Amico Ryans is going to the Texans. So how much does that affect the Niners?
Yeah, it did affect them a lot. I don't understand that move. I mean, I guess because for him,
he was there, right?
Yeah, he used to play there, and he probably wants to give it a try at head coach and see. But I feel like there had to be other places that were better options, right? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I mean, even next year, maybe, potentially.
It's interesting to see because if Kansas or the Bengals look good, their defensive coordinator's solid. You can't really name anybody that's a stud on their defense. You know, like, you're talking like all pro-esque.
Yeah.
They don't have that guy. They just have a bunch of pretty good dudes. Like, Hubbard's good. The other guy from Ohio, isn't there one from Ohio State? Hendricks, he's not from Ohio State, I don't think. He's just another white dude. Von Bell's cool. But we're not talking like super good dudes.
No. And
they've been kicking ass, man. They've looked really good. So it'll be interesting to see the turnover with all that. Yeah, Kansas City got beat up. From here, I think once we talk about the injuries with the Chiefs, we'll kind of segue into the Super Bowl matchup. Because Philly's cool. They seem healthy as shit.
Yep. Jalen Hurts is back. He's not hurt, you know, anymore. So
at the start of the playoffs, we kind of picked our Super Bowl favorites. Biasly, I picked the Kansas City Chiefs, but the logic was there. It's going to be tough for Cincinnati to go to Buffalo and win, then go to Arrowhead and win, and it proved to be so just because, well, they lost. Even though they beat Buffalo's ass and played a nail biter against the Chiefs, Kansas City got beat the fuck up in this game. They lost a lot of receivers. Mecole Hardman's probably out again. He's not going to make the Super Bowl, and he had a couple of huge catches, man. A few huge third down catches, and he only had 10 yards, but still.
Yeah.
You know what? That statistically was his only play, was that catch that he got hurt on, because otherwise he had one catch for -1 yards. So like Marcus Kemp. What? Who is, I don't even know who that is.
I don't either.
I know who Noah Gray is. I don't know who Marcus Kemp is. Kadarius Toney gets hurt, Juju gets hurt. Kelsey was dealing with back spasms late in the week. Mahomes' ankle, you saw him tweak it on he saw him tweak it on the play that Mecole Hardman got folded in half. Yeah, so they're dealing with some stuff. I think that Kadarius Toney should be okay. Juju should be okay from what it sounds like. Hardman's out. And then just another couple weeks for your big dogs. I mean, Mahomes with a bad ankle. Had that weird-ass fumble.
Yeah.
And threw for 29 for 43 for 326. Thank you. And they couldn't run the ball for shit.
No, since he's got a pretty good run defense.
Yeah, they couldn't run it for shit. They still got it done. With no receivers, man. It's hard not to swoon over the man, but good golly. On one leg. The one I got to say before I move all the way on. He had the fourth down touchdown to Kelce was pretty impressive. And then the touchdown over the middle to Valdes-Scantling, where he just fell on his butt.
Yeah.
In the moment, I had no idea what happened. Like, I saw him step up in the pocket and just throw it. And, like, initially my eyes couldn't register. Like, my eyes saw it, but my brain couldn't, like, comprehend. I was like, was there a tip? What the fuck just happened? And then they show it from the other angle. I'm like, oh, it was easy. I'm sitting there thinking, like, dude, oh, no. This dude just fired an absolute laser beam right on the numbers, dude. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
That had to have been the most impressive throw of his day. Joe Burrow's most impressive throw of his day might have been an incompletion that hit Jamar Chase in the helmet. Like, dude, that's stupid accuracy. Holy shit.
That was a great throw, too. That was one that should have been caught. Yeah.
It hit him right in the goddamn head. I was like, yeah. Dude, what?
Over a defender, too, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. It was nuts. So, yeah, the Chiefs are going in banged up against the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl. What number are we on now? I'm getting old.
I couldn't tell you. I've lost track.
57.
Dude, I was going to say 49, so I missed a few.
Oh,
there.
Fuck no. I don't even know. Where is it?
Tell Arizona. Me.
Oh, it on there?
I just see it's in Arizona. I thought you were saying where is it? It's the Super Bowl. It's in Arizona. That's all.
52. 57. It is 57.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that?
I was six off. Almost had it.
Yeah. Well, Kansas City's going to win. So, sorry, Philly fans. No, honestly, a little more depth is needed. Philadelphia, it's such a tough pick, man. Honestly, like we said, Philly is just stacked everywhere. Yep. The only obvious advantage that Kansas City has is Kelce, and it's not by like a country mile. Goddard's a good tight end.
Goddard's really good. Yeah.
And then Mahomes over Hurts, but Hurts is still effective, right? So it's not like, but then everywhere else on the field, it's like
Philly.
Philly linebacker, probably Philly
defensive front. Line. Yeah.
Damn, Chris Jones is good as fuck. It's probably still Philly.
Yeah.
Offensive line. Kansas City. Solid offensive line.
Philly.
Really good, healthy. It's probably still Philly. Running back. Isaiah Pacheco has been awesome since he started playing. It's still Philly.
The receiver is just Philly.
Not even fucking close. We don't even need to bring them up.
Not at all.
Devontae Smith is 1A immediately as soon as he walks in the Chiefs locker room.
Yeah.
He's getting, absolutely fed. Same with AJ Brown. Like, those dudes are nuts. I don't know. They've just looked mortal since he got hurt, since Jalen Hurts got hurt.
Have they? I mean, they're two playoff games that are not even close.
Well, they've looked mortal in those games, but they also haven't had to be, they haven't been tested. And that's what I'm concerned about, because early in the season, I drafted in fantasy leagues and whatnot, and we talked about it. To be fair, we've been pretty bad at the podcast accountability and getting these out. However, we did talk about Philly having the weakest schedule in the NFL statistically. Like, you got to think, who are their tough games that they've played throughout the season? Dallas, and both of those you could throw an asterisk on because no Cooper Rush. And then they're going to use it in the inverse way where they say, oh, there was no.
Yeah, there's no Dak and there was no Jalen Hurts. Yeah.
The Packers at that point were whatever.
Yeah.
Tough game. Good win. Tough game. That's it.
Yeah, that's a really weak schedule. The Commanders played them tough. I mean, Yeah.
That was the first kink in the armor.
They beat them once, yeah. The Colts played them really tough, and the Colts were not a good team.
Mm-mm.
But then after that, I mean, not many of their games were. The Bears, they did have a close one with the Bears there.
Back-to-back losses. Close one against the Giants. In the playoffs, they get a week off. They get healthy. They're game planning for a team they literally just saw. The last team they played, they just saw.
Yep.
And I think that they just overwhelm them. And then in this last game, like we talked about,
Purdy gets hurt. And
the Niners never had a chance.
Yeah.
Or they had a chance, and it was for about two drives.
Yeah.
That would be what – that's the biggest red flag to me. Is that they just haven't been tested. They haven't – Jalen Hurts has been good and effective, but he hasn't been – he hasn't had to go through it. The Chargers are a solid team. If you're looking at the Chiefs.
Their playoff team.
Yeah, 10-win team. The Bills, they lose to the Bills at home. It was one of their worst performances of the season, and they lost by four. They beat the shit out of the Niners.
That's an asterisk game, though. That's the Niners before they were good.
Before they were Christian McCaffrey, it's still a 21-point game.
I mean, yeah, but that team was completely different after that point.
Sure. Chargers again, close win. Bengals.
Well, I mean, look at it. They beat the Jaguars. That's a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Chargers, another playoff team. Lost to the Bengals on a close game.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Seahawks. That's a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Colts game is a blemish, but it's only a 3-point game, you know. That could have gone either way. The Bills is a 4-point game, could have gone either way. Bengals 3-point game could have gone either way. They had a lot of close games, not just, you know, blowouts. Like even the Texans were overtime win. And to be fair, in the context of things, the Texans played teams pretty well at the end of the season.
They did. I mean, yeah, I get that. The one thing I will say opposite of that, though, is momentum. Momentum is huge. And the Eagles just destroying the Giants and beating the 49ers like they did. It's a lot of momentum. That's a lot of confidence. That's a lot going into a game where maybe if those are close games, they're thinking, oh, great, we barely beat the 49ers. Now we got to go play Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that's my point, though, is that they have been so good that at least with these last two playoff games, and if you really look at the context of them, they don't come out of that game thinking they need to improve on X, Y, or Z. Especially the last game, because they just come out of there and they're like, oh, well, that's the best defense in the NFL, right? So, I mean, obviously we're going to play a little worse. But we still won by 24 points. Like, we should be cool. We'll just get in there. Here's the game plan and do our thing. I think it's a coin flip because something like that could pop up, but then at the same time, they could come out and run for 350 because Kansas City fucking sucks sometimes on run defense.
Well, I think a big part of it is going to be like with Spagnuolo has been in the game a long time. It's going to be getting Philly out of their rhythm on offense. Mm-hmm. That's what the Colts did. That's what the Commanders did. They got them out of their rhythm on offense. They pounded the ball. And I'm not saying the Chiefs have to pound the ball, but I mean, one thing that the Chiefs have been really good at is controlling the clock. With Patrick Mahomes and those guys, they can control the clock. They can get completions. They can get timely third down conversions. And that's one thing that the Eagles have been good at this year, too, is getting a good third down conversion and then, you know, keeping that drive going. If the Chiefs can come out and do that, like, that's how you have to beat the Eagles.
And that's been on the ground for the most part, too, though. You know, so I mean, like I said, they do it different ways. They're both super fucking effective. Honestly, I think it's going to come down to a similar thing like it did with the Bengals. What the Bengals had And it kind of, you can kind of see it. And to your point you made earlier, they looked weird when they were chasing the game. They didn't look really comfortable. Their defense kept them in that game for sure. And then once they, oh my God, my screen went black. You can still hear me?
Yes.
That was scary. But and then, like, to your point, once they tied the game, they were kind of, it felt like they, oh, wait, finally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They were playing with all season. Fire.
Yeah, where all season when they played with the lead, they looked composed, under control, well coached. The Eagles have looked the same way.
Well, that's what I mean. That's a big part of the rhythm of it, you know.
Right.
If Kansas City takes them off of their rhythm of picking up those third downs, if Kansas City is doing that and keeping that offense on the sideline, it's going to be tough. It's a rhythm style offense, I felt like.
I think you got to kind of try and sell out. Jalen Hurts does have a huge arm. I think you got to sell out and try and stop the run like you did against Cincinnati.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like at this
because point, if you're going to compare and contrast, who's the better quarterback?
Mahomes, yeah.
No. Between Philly and Cincinnati.
Oh, Joe Burrow.
Better receiving core.
Cincinnati.
And that's the trick. And it sounds cliche, and all the people always say it when they want to get lazy, but it's going to come down to the fat boys in the trenches.
Yeah.
Because I think that the game plan is going to be to make Jalen Hurts beat him with his arm.
It's got to be. That's how you have to play them. Yeah.
You just did the same thing against Joe Burrow, who's a way better quarterback. And it worked out.
Yeah. Now, the one thing is going to be, it's going to be, you know, stopping the run, but also getting pressure on Jalen Hurts and keeping him from getting outside of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can contain him in the pocket, then you got a good chance, I feel like.
It's going to be an insane game.
Yeah.
It's going to be an insane game. I think that top end talent, other than receiver, I think Chiefs, you know, tight end, quarterback, Chris Jones is better than anybody that's on Philly's front line. But then after that, it's all Philly.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Nick Bolton is probably the best linebacker playing. But after that, it's all Philly. The corners, it's not even close. It's all Philly. Darius Slayton, Bradbury, them guys are serious. Yeah. They are rookie safety, too.
I think so.
He's playing pretty well, if I remember correctly, but I don't know what the fuck his name is, unfortunately. So.
I mean, McDuffie's been good for the Chiefs this year, right?
I mean, he's had to be. He's the only guy out there, man. You get thrown, you get hit with, you know, they're throwing, if you're the last kid alive in dodgeball and you get hit with six balls but catch one, it's like, hey, I caught one. That one guy cooked for the Chiefs, that safety, I have no idea who that dude is.
The Jerry Seeds have been solid.
The Jerry Seeds have been very good, and that's why when he got hurt, hope Christ he comes back. We need that.
Yeah.
If we can make the day tough for one of those receivers, that will be fantastic.
Yep.
He's the second leading tackler on the team. 108 tackles for a corner. So he gets hurt on a Joe Mixon run and dives right into the pile to get him. Initially, I'm like, why the fuck are you doing that? And then I'm like, oh, because you have 108 tackles.
Yeah.
Okay. You're that. It makes sense. I'm not mad at you. Then you've been playing that way all year. Man, I don't know. Two more weeks for Patty Staddy to get healthy.
That thing is this Sunday.
Well, I'm saying off of it. It's not like they played yesterday. We're late. The game's not.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I was like, two more weeks? No.
No, 2 weeks from the Bengals game.
Yep, last Sunday.
Where Mahomes looked pretty goddamn good. He looked limited, but he still threw for 325.
Yes.
Two more weeks of that. Two more weeks to get the receivers back. And I think that them having a bunch of spare parts is a part of what makes them good. Because you don't know who's going to get you. He doesn't have any obligations. Like if A.J. Brown's having a quiet game, they start trying to force the ball to him if they're losing. Does it start getting weird?
Well, yeah, I mean, we haven't seen that really, so.
There's a little bit of it in the Giants game, I think. There's a shot of him bitching and moaning at the coaches, and we'll see. It's a good locker room over there. They got a bunch of good dudes, and Jalen Hurts is – he ain't afraid of it, man. He's a – it's tough. Again, we're grasping at straws. We're not comparing the Chiefs or the Eagles versus the Commanders or the Broncos here.
No.
This is by far – maybe not by far, but I would say for the majority of the year, these have been the two best teams in the NFL.
These have been our top two teams the whole season.
Yeah.
Essentially, since about week four, five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, here we are. Tickets as low as $4,000.
It's not bad.
Mm-mm. Glendale, Arizona. I gotta go with my heart. It's gotta be Kansas City for me. I just think that, yeah, I don't know. I just think that they're a little more battle tested. They've been here before. Not that Jalen Hurts hasn't played. He's played in the biggest games. The biggest game he's played in, other than this one, you could argue that he got pulled from. Especially considering how the last 2 weeks went for them.
Yeah.
And Big Red just figures it out, man. I don't know. As long as Travis Kelce doesn't try that lateral bullshit again, I think that Kansas City gets it done.
I'm thinking the Eagles.
No shot.
I'm hoping that me picking them is like a curse, but we'll see. I just think that by and large, like, you go over everything you did, and the two spots you can say that the Chiefs are better at are quarterback and tight end. Every other spot, the Eagles, maybe kicker. I think the Chiefs have me kicker too. And special teams plays is a big part of it.
I don't watch enough Philly football to know how good of a punter they have.
Dude, I don't know if they even have a punter. I don't feel like they punted once this year. So.
No, they did punt against the Niners. They hit the fucking wire. You remember that goofy shit?
No, I don't, because I'm just saying, like, as a whole, that offense.
That might have been their only punt of the season, to be fair.
That offense has been pretty good. So I don't even know if they have a punter. I don't know if they need one. Maybe they just take that roster spot away and add another position, which would be smart. But I just think, as a whole, with the Chiefs having them have an advantage in three positions, everything else, I don't know. The Eagles look really good right now. And yeah. I know that we're saying their competition isn't there, but you know, they put the hit on Brock Purdy that took him out of the game. And there's got to be something to be said for that. Like, they forced those injuries and they forced the turnovers. And that defensive front is really good.
They think it said they got 4 or 5 players with 10 plus sacks. That's insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. If, like I said, if Kansas City controls the rhythm of the game, if they can, you know, kind of force Philly to play in a different manner than they have all year, I think the Chiefs will win. But from what I've seen, the Philly's play calling has been spectacular this year, getting people open, whether that be a running back, a tight end, or those receivers. It's been pretty impressive.
My mind, again, is telling me Philly. The same way my mind last week was telling me Bengals. But God damn it. And we have the refs on our side. Like, stop. It's gonna be Kansas City.
We'll see.
Obviously. Brady's retired. Who are they gonna, then they gotta get the next guy. If Mahomes is 1-2 in the Super Bowl, who gives a shit? If he's 2-1. And losing to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, hey, that's different.
I mean, Eli Manning never.
That's true.
He was 2-0 in the Super Bowl. I don't know if that really makes that big a difference. Dude, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl.
No. I mean, it's kind of the argument we were having the other day about, or maybe it was today. That was a long nap. about stats and winning. Like, what's more impressive, stats or winning? Because Mahomes is going to maybe fall into, you know, LeBron hasn't been perfect through the finals. People are slowly starting to forget about that shit as he's pulling up on milestones. But before the milestones, that was the big knock. So,
yeah,
all joking aside, I think that, the Chiefs have it, their work cut out for them.
I think both teams do, honestly. I mean, like we said, this is the two best teams all season. It's never going to be easy.
No, and it'll be interesting to see once Philly does get punched in the mouth, because it's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
How they respond.
Mm-hmm.
And if they respond well, then they'll probably win. Because they just have a better team on paper, you know. So
yeah.
I can't not. It's too romantic, man. It's too romantic. The ankle. The season, the MVP. Oh my God, if he wins, oh my God, the NFL is gonna slurp him to death. Like they don't already.
Yeah, right.
But he deserves it, dude. He's good. Joe Burrow gets a lot of it too, though. But Joe Burrow deserves it. Fuck, he's cool. Mahomes is kind of a cornball, and I love him because of it. But Joe Burrow is cool as fuck.
Well, I think the one thing, like, Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes have been winning, you know, like Joe Burrow's came into the league pretty much winning. They were better in their rookie year than we thought they were going to be until he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The difference to me with actually being able to pull for Mahomes or not care compared to, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, dude, it's the sideline antics. Like you just don't see Patrick Mahomes going over to the sideline and yelling and cussing and throwing his tablet and being pissed off at his team. He might be mad at himself, but I think there's a big difference, and you can tell the difference when you're watching.
Dude, he looks like such a leader too. Like he's 27, right? If he fucks up, you see him on the sideline, sit down for a minute, look at that tablet, set the tablet down, throw that fucking giant cape that they give him over his shoulders and walk down the sideline. Like, that's on me. Let's go. You know, be great. And he just starts firing everybody else up. And he's like, that dude just threw a pick. Let's fucking get it. That he's doing okay. I should be just fine.
And I feel like there's something to be said for Joe Burrow doing that. And you know, you don't see them on the sidelines like pissed off at their players compared to other guys where it looks like, hey man, that was your fault. And then you watch the replay and it's like, what are you even doing on this play? So I feel like it just makes it easier to root for him. And I do feel like
helps that. I think good coaching helps out a lot.
Yeah, coaching helps out a ton.
Especially for Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
But for the other guys like Jalen Hurts, you never see anything like that with him.
Nope. I was going
to
say
dudes
that.
You hear dudes like Jason Kelce, who's been in the league forever, talk about his leadership. And it comes from adversity and being at big-ass college programs. Two of them.
Well, I actually
Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts.
Well, I just saw this from today. It was an interview with Nick Saban, and they were saying he was telling Jalen Hurts, because when Hurts told him he was transferring, it was between Miami or Maryland. I guess he was considering going to Miami or Maryland. And Nick Saban told him, no, go to Oklahoma. That's going to be best for you. You're going to have the best coaches. You're going to be able to be the best you can there. You're going to be able to progress there. And I feel like that puts a lot into it too, right? Like your coach being okay with you transferring somewhere that you could play them in the playoffs. And he knows that going into it. And so if your coach is taking that line of, you know, expectations for you or helping you out, then you're going to want to do that for your team, right? Like, I mean, that's accountability. It's everything.
Yeah, I mean, everybody always compares Alabama to, like, the Empire from Star Wars. And that's, like, one of the more human moments from Saban.
Yeah.
And you get the goofy shit where he's on TV lobbying for Alabama at the end of the season this year and things like that. Like, no, it seems like he's pretty genuine about it. And you see it. These football guys, they get a shitload of money, but they're usually about their guys, the guys at the top, the best guys.
Yeah.
He has to do it right, get rewarded, it seems. You don't see too many dudes that have been coaching for 10, 15, 20 years that are assholes.
No, and then that's what I mean, too. Like, I mean, it trickles down to your players, and then that's kind of how Hurts I mean, like, he seems very calm and relaxed on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how the game's going, I feel like that's what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, you want that intensity, and you want that where,
well, that they comes know. With betting on yourself, I think.
Yeah.
And same with Joe Burrow. You mean Joe Burrow left Ohio State to go to LSU?
Yeah.
And it worked out for both of them when they transferred.
Well, I mean, then the offense knows, you know, he might have had a bad play, but they know he's an electric player. And once he steps foot and he's behind that center, anything could happen.
Oh, they're proven commodities, these guys. Yeah.
Yeah. He can make a play out of nothing. And yeah. he can make a big play. So you can just, it's easier to put something behind you, I guess.
Absolutely. Final thoughts on the Super Bowl?
No. Just ready. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's very seldom do we see the two best teams in any sport play each other championship. Right? So
and here we are.
Yep.
Final thoughts is halftime is going to fucking kill me. It's going to be like an hour long. I think it's got to be Kansas City.
At least you get to look at Rihanna.
That's true. That's true. I think it's got to be Kansas City. I do. Yeah, I just think it is. I think that they're just battle tested. They got their guy. They slayed the beast. Maybe that's their Super Bowl. People could argue that. Like, that's all the hype and excitement over Cincinnati. You know, maybe they have a bit of a hangover from that, but not with this staff, not with like all the things that we just talked about with Mahomes, I don't think. The leadership and all that stuff in the locker room. So
I feel like it's also easier to get past that when you have 2 weeks between the game.
And we've seen them do it too, right? This is their third Super Bowl together. So Super Bowl MVP, I think that, why not Travis Kelce? No, I mean, it's a quarterback award at this point. So whoever wins is going to be their quarterback, right?
Unless Chris Jones just, unless somebody on the defensive line just goes Eats. Bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's all I got. Last of Us and basketball have to wait because shit, we like football and we just done talked about it.
And it's the Super Bowl.
I mean, it's the Super Bowl.
And it's the biggest game of the year.
And the Chiefs are in it. I mean, obviously I'm going to be a little excited.
Let's go Chiefs. Look, I'm pulling for them.
Yeah, dude. Fuck Philly.
I don't.
So am I.
My mind just says Philly. I don't want Philly to win. I'm pulling for the Chiefs hard. Hard.
My mind just says Patty Statty, man. He's like, if you can't bet on Brady, you know, bet on Mahomes. So, I don't know. It's just my heart talking.
I think so.
Next time we talk, I might be crying. So, anyway, I'm Kyle. He's BMAC. Remember to love each other, love yourselves, and stay adventurous.
We'll be out.